1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, it's the Gristle back for another week here on 2SER 107.3. Good to have you with us, Gristlers. And we've got a big panel for you this evening. Of course, I'm Starvin Marvin, and I'm here with Demo Crazy. Demo Crazy, is there? Good evening. Oh, look, you didn't answer the right thing there. So try it again.
Good evening.
No, that's no good. Let me try this one.
Good evening.
No, what about that one?
Good evening.
Yeah, look, it's working now. and, of course, in the other studio, we've got it now. In the other studio, we have...
Tintin.
We have Tintin.
G'day,
hello,
g'day.
Tintin's
back.
I'm forgetting everyone's name.
My name is Trudette.
Trudette, of course. Trudette, lovely to see you.
What's your name?
It's been so long, Trudette, hasn't it?
Now you can't... First, you can't count the mic numbers.
I can't do anything.
And now you can't remember anyone's name. What's going on?
Oh, I don't know.
It's Friday, everyone.
It's not easy. Anyway, look, we're going to be giving you a bit of information on what's happening with Christian Porter, poor old chap. He's got a busy life, hasn't he? Minns is in. We've got Chris Minns coming back, you know, without any opposition at all into the opposition leadership here in New South Wales. A lot of media fines coming up from the Pell case. I don't know why the media can't just behave themselves when it comes to these things. And, of course, Benjamin Netanyahu. Goodness gracious me. Is it the end of him? Looks like it could be. Anyway, stay tuned here on The Gristle. Yes, Gristlers, another week, another very event-filled week here on The Gristle that we're going to just, you know, chew over with you. Wherever you are, in your car, in your home, in your office, online, we've got lots of options here to receive our 107.3. Look, we've of course got in the studio, we've got Demo Crazy, Demo Crazy, you've probably been following a bit of Christian Porter's wonderful legal action going on, defamation. He's pulled out of the defamation case. He's a winner, according to him. ABC says that they're a winner. There's a lot of winners here. But there's a lot of things that aren't exactly finished. I think Joe Dyer is considering bringing another case against him for defamation. There's a lot of defamation going on. Geez, Demo Crazy. It's complicated, isn't it?
It's very messy. And so Christian Porter... took time off. He was Attorney General, and the historic allegation of rape came out earlier this year. So he took kind of a month off. He's now in a new ministry, but he brought the defamation case against the ABC. But the lawyer that he engaged for that defamation case is someone who'd previously been acting for a close friend of the lady that's made the historic rape allegations and has since died. And so Joe Dyer, who's the friend of the deceased, said, no, you can't have that. I can't tell you what's going on with this, and then you start acting for the other side. And so that person was struck off the list later earlier this week. And then Christian Porter pulled out of the case, but claimed that he'd won. Like, honestly, it's seems a bit rich, but you've been following. What else he's been up to? What else has he been up
well,
to?
Well, look, you know, no wonder he pulled out of the case. He's got other you know, fish to fry here. Apparently, he's got another bit of love interest on the home front. So he's got to be home at dinner at regular hours and that sort of thing. So you know, he's moved on at least. You know, it's good to know. It's good to know that ministers in the government can quickly move on with their personal lives. What do you think? Trudette, good news for Christian Porter?
I mean, probably good news for Christian Porter. It's hard to say whether it's good news for his romantic partner, but, you know, one never knows, I suppose. I mean, I feel like you're always taking your life in your hands a little bit if you date a politician, because from, you know, the stats that come out of there on, you know, wayward eyes... don't look good for a long-term relationship, I must say.
It certainly doesn't. In that Canberra bubble, it's a bit of a hothouse, the Canberra bubble.
It's a latex bubble.
It's a latex bottle. So, Tintin, what are you thinking about this? You know, he's also having a bit of trouble finding good staff. They're not too happy to work for him.
No. Yeah. No. Look, I saw this piece in the Herald about Christian Porter's romantic life, and I'm not sure why there's an entire piece in one of the local papers dedicated to this.
Just hard-hitting news.
Yeah, something I really wanted to hear
about. Good journalism on the Herald. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, but just on this whole case, I mean, look, he instituted these proceedings and then withdrew pretty quickly. If you're the defamation law is relatively straightforward. If you're supposed to be the top lawyer in the country, shouldn't you have a more clear idea of the viability of a case, seeing it through? It's not good for someone who says, I'm the top lawyer and the top legal dog, if this is his approach to practicing law.
Details, Tintin.
Oh, sorry, details.
I think we should worry about that.
I think, though, you know, it is sometimes good to withdraw pretty quickly, and certainly Christian Porter is one of the people that knows how to do that, apparently. There's thin ice on this topic. There's more to hear on this, of course, isn't there?
Well, I don't know whether I think the case is concluded because the ABC both sides made a statement, and the ABC published a statement and made a comment at the bottom of the article that was the subject of defamation proceedings as addendum to the article, that article is still public, and I think you can view that online as well as the statement, which is reproduced separately by the ABC.
Aren't there a couple of news organisations wanting to see what the redacted material was that the ABC used as defence?
I've heard so. I guess I think that's very much a wait and see.
It is. I think we could be back talking about this again next week, Gristlers. Isn't it exciting?
And I think an extra point I'd want to make on this is that the public interest in this was around that, like, is Christian Porter fit to serve as a minister? Previously, it was around whether he was fit to be the top law officer. And the defamation case was seen as an avenue where these kind of, given that the historic rape allegation wouldn't be tested within a criminal case, that there would at least be some kind of investigation of this. And so the fact that the defamation course has currently concluded, there's no way to resolve this. This cloud continues to hang over Christian Porter's head, and the legal issues have not been resolved.
I think Anthony Albanese and a few people in the upper house are saying that we should have a full-scale inquiry into the whole matter.
Exactly.
Break over everything again, because once is not enough. And it's always great for the Gristle to have that sort of thing happening as well. So we're looking forward to it here on the Gristle. Now, Chris Minns today appears to be the new opposition leader. A few little Democratic things to have to go on before that. But I just thought I'd play to you a little grab we had of Chris a little bit earlier today. If I can just... Where can I see that? Oh, there we go. I can find that. Here it is.
I made it clear the other day that we will give credit to the government when credit is due. They've done a very good job in the COVID pandemic. During a tough period, there should be no politics in a pandemic.
Yeah, look, we don't want any politics in a pandemic. And, you know, he's really done a great job for Gladys Berejiklian there, do you think, or not? Is it a good start? What do you think, Trudette?
I mean, I thought it was quite interesting. To be fair to Gladys, she hasn't done badly. She's done better than some. But leaving that aside, I thought what was interesting was Chris Minns sort of saying, you know, I want to heal the party. We want to get back, you know, the old Labour Party voters. We want to kind of, you know, appeal to those people again. But I didn't really see a whole lot of kind of new ideas about how any of these things might happen. Like, what are your credentials for bringing the party together and creating unity? And how are you planning to get back these elusive Labour Party voters, which no other Labour leader seems to have worked out other than, like, that bloke over in WA who, I don't know, just seems Putin, but on, like, you know, the other side of the fence.
Yeah, he's got no opposition over there.
Oh, no, excuse me. There are more Labour MPs called Lisa in that state government than
really?
There are coalition Liberal MPs.
They're all fans of The Simpsons or something, aren't they?
I can only hope so. Good taste.
Well, look, I just Chris Minns also said something else in his piece to the press a little bit earlier.
If you're asking me what the Labor Party stands for, I'll tell you the Labor Party stands for economic opportunity, and we fight for working families.
Right, so is that working families in the real estate industry? What do you think, Demo Crazy? Development is front and centre in New South Wales. You've got to get it. You've got to be a property developer to make it big in this town, or a prominent racing identity. I'm not sure.
Or both.
Or both, preferably. Yes. What do you think? Is this standard Labor values?
I think it's a fresh approach. I think that the public is jaded with politics and constant kind of opposition negativity. People kind of don't listen to what people are saying. They're thinking that that person is just opposing. So Chris Minns is really trying to start out early by saying that, hey, he's got a fresh approach, and he's hoping that's going to grab voters' attention. And he was really contrasting himself to Michael Daly, who'd put his hand up to be opposition leader. And you knew Michael Daly's bid was in trouble as soon as he said in a press conference that, no, head office is not leaning on me to not run. Well, that's when you knew head office was leaning on him not to run. So now Chris Minns has got some clear air, so to speak, but will he be able to unite the party? There seems to be a few fractured relationships, so I'm sure he's going to spend the weekend making a lot of calls and trying to smoke the peace pipe.
True, Dad. Is he a uniter?
Oh, look, who knows? But I mean, I just want to. I guess question or comment on what Democracy just said. You know, he said that he's got this fresh approach to kind of, you know, talking to the people, but has he? Like, I feel like every single politician, when they take on a leadership, say this. Liberal, Labor, you know, One Nation, Greens, they all say it. But how many, like, what do they actually do to gain those people's trust, really? Like, I feel like they don't do anything. The only thing that happens is the Liberal Party put a bit more, you know, money back in the tax pocket or whatever, and then make people, you know, give them a few franking credits and send them on their way like a party bag. And, like, that's, you know, that'll keep people happy. But, like, you know, what are people actually doing for those working people, working families? Because I feel like it's kind of all just empty promises and absolutely nothing else.
Tin, what are the working families getting out of this?
Well, look, depending if you were picking up sort of the point of the racing identities, if you were up online the past couple of days, what any number of Australians, working families, otherwise could have got is a pretty good deal because I don't know if you saw, but the sports bet had odds for Chris Minns at 1.05 versus Daly at 9. So you could have cashed in at 0.5% if you have time to bet just right. I think I know a few people who...
It's good getting these sort of after the time has gone tips, you know, after the race is finished tips from the gristle. That's why you listen to this program. I know. Thank you, Tintin, for those tips. That's really, really good. We are probably...
Not encouraging gambling, for the record.
No, of course not. We might just have a little short break. I might play a little bit of 9 to 5. It's been a hard week. We've all been working hard, and this is Kelly Clarkson, I think.
Kelly Clarkson, 9 to 5.
Yeah. Oh my God, where's Dolly Parton?
This is
what
Dolly
is wrong
Parton.
With you?
Are we on air? This is Dolly Parton.
What is wrong with you? Put us on air.
Out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping, out on the street the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving, they just use your mind.
Yeah, well, look, I could have got that a bit wrong there a bit earlier. I don't know, Trudette, did I get that wrong?
There was a lot of yelling from this side of the booth. That was definitely Dolly Parton, and I have absolutely no idea where Kelly Clarkson came from.
I don't know either. It just came into my head. What's going wrong? I don't know.
Dear listeners, for the record, what you should have heard was, since you've been gone, we're listening to Dolly Parton, not Dear Kelly. Oh my God! I saw Kelly.
Oh,
live
look!
She
you never know what you're going to get here on the Gristle. That's you know, part of the charm. Listening to the Gristle here on 2SCR. Yeah,
American Idol 2001 winner Dolly Parton.
Yeah, incorrect announcing on like one of the most famous female singers of all time.
And not afraid to make a correction here on this great station of
ours. Set the record straight.
Dway Rod, I will always love you.
Yes, Starvin' Marvin's the name.
Yeah.
There's nothing fake about that news or Dolly Parton.
No, we don't have any fake news here. Now, look, just moving on a little bit, ScoMo. ScoMo, of course, is always busy, always getting into the media. And, of course, this time he's been his old foe. One of his nemesises is the lovely Four Corners program, which we love here on ABC. Hello, Louise Milliken, if you're listening, and hope you're feeling a lot better now. And they've been accused of going rogue a few times here we wouldn't make any aspersions about other media players here on 2SCR 107.3, but look, they have been accused of being, you know, a little bit single-minded when it comes to going after politicians and so forth. Well, it's not such a bad thing, is it, Demo Crazy? With rumblings that there was a QAnon buddy that ScoMo had. Now, there was a program going to be going to air about that. It might have been about, you know, very soon. But it's been kicked upstairs and upstairs.
I was sitting there waiting.
Upstairs has said no.
This is a fantastic story because this is a conspiracy theory about a conspiracy theory that's now on the front page of newspapers. Like, this is really funny. So what can you do about this?
Well, you can tell us what it is, Demo Crazy, in case somebody doesn't know. No, well, look, maybe Trudette, you could know. No. Well, Trudette, yeah, give us a bit of a rundown.
I know, like a brief rundown of this.
That's what we want. We want briefs.
So ABC, Four Corners. We're doing a bit of research into a QAnon believer who apparently has a couple of, you know, ties to ScoMo, and maybe less loose ties and more kind of slightly tighter ties is the what we've been led to believe, but unclear given that they didn't actually air the program. So head of ABC has kind of said, no, actually, we're not going to do that because I'd rather not have yet more money pulled out of my budget. Let's not go after ScoMo.
However, the ABC has said that it will be airing it at some point.
Oh, I didn't see that bit.
In the fullness of time, hacker. Yes.
Yeah. So it will be interesting to see what has happened and whether there's been undue pressure from the Prime Minister's office.
Well, it went through editorial. ABC. It was edited. It was done. It got ready to go. I was sitting by my TV with popcorn and the cider.
You would think that, you know, given the lawyers have been at it, there probably is links with him to someone who, you know, believes in QAnon. But to be fair, we all have weird friends who believe in utter nonsense. And, like, you know, you
and
can't
most
be
of them
held
are on this program
for their beliefs, can you, really? Like, I have all friends who believe in ghosts and, like, all sorts of other crazy crap. So,
She said,
know that about you, Trudette.
Trudette says crazy friends just stares unblinkingly at me across the table. No, look, I have a confession. I actually... Speaking of outrageous things, I spend a unreasonable amount of time on the Star Trek Reddit pages, and I can tell you lately...
I can imagine that.
Yeah. Lately, a lot of them has just been memes of Q disassociating himself from QAnon. For anyone who follows Star Trek, no, this is a he's
Q
a big deal
from the James Bond movies.
No, that's Desmond Llewellyn. Q from Star Trek. He set the test for Picard in Next Generation. He turns up in Voyager and Deep Space Nine. He fights Sisko. And Star Trek fans will know what I'm talking about. And yeah, nothing to do with QAnon. Very different, but yes, a lot of anyone
and nothing to do with Q from James Bond.
No, Q's great. He's great. He's great.
Anyway, look, I might just move on there. Now, I just wanted to mention that the poor old media is being kicked in the guts again. There's no money left in the media, but $1.1 million is going to have to go out to the legal system to pay for fines for the Pell case. So I'd like to point out that one of the biggest payers in this situation is going to be the Age. They were fined $450,000 after pleading guilty to three breaches in relating to an online article, front page story, and online editorial. Online stuff seems to be getting a heap of fines, Trudy. I don't know whether you had a look at the whole list of people that were getting fined.
I didn't see the whole list, but to be fair, I'm kind of okay with this. Like, this case more or less got ruined by the reporting around it. You know, they more or less decided he couldn't get a proper jury that would be impartial because of the amount of reporting around it. And sorry, not the amount of reporting, but I suppose the things that were reported. So, I mean, you know, I think that's important to kind of keep people accountable. Like, big cases like that, he should have really, you know, had to defend himself properly. And I think he kind of got away with it. You know, they left the door open for his attorneys to kind of say, hey, this case wasn't fair because of the reporting.
Well, I'd just like to point out that this station doesn't figure in that list.
That is something important, you know, yeah.
Fair and balanced on this station here at 2SAM 107.3. And so we feel a little bit smug when we look at this list and we think, you know, these people, they bent the rules.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of issues here. One, and it was widely voiced around the time of this case in particular, is the extent to which under current laws, Media Organisations Australia are allowed to report on such proceedings. Certainly, if you looked at the international press, this was much widely reported. That's one issue separate to the extent of the fines that were imposed. And I think irrespective of the extent to which the fines that were imposed and the Age and others obviously being very acrimonious about this, it may be a chance to look at broader reform in the sector. It's not something that should get lost in this discussion, at least in my view.
Oh, look, and your view is something that I'm going to ask about in the next segment.
Oh, ooh.
We could be seeing the end of a figure on the world stage, Benjamin Netanyahu, who? Prime Minister of Israel. Now, you know, he seems to be on the way out, but gosh, he's a survivor if anyone there is. I've just got a little bit of a clip here from what he said on television recently. No, I haven't. Yes, I have. No, I haven't.
He's got some technical difficulties.
You want me to do my impression?
What's happening to that?
My American.
Seems to be. Oh, I know what's wrong. Here we go. We'll start again. Here we go. This is the wrong thing. There we go.
Bennett. Unfortunately, he once again is leading the public astray. The same lies, the same empty slogans about hatred and division.
He's talking about his erstwhile confidant, Naftali Bennett, his protege, ooh, who went out and got a new party and has looks like he's taken over the whole box of dice. Is that the way you see it there?
They had a bad breakup, and now he's taking everything. He might take the Knesset. Just before we get into this, just to note, yes, there's actually a new president as well. Isaac Herzog was elected this week. He spent time in Australia.
Herzog?
He's from the family.
Yes, they're famous, aren't they?
We're a politician. Yeah. Look, he's been there for 12 years. It's a very, very long-standing prime minister. He wanted to be the longest in the history of the country. Now you have this power-sharing agreement. It has to be approved by the Knesset, Israeli parliament, in a vote next week. But it looks like it could be Naftali Bennett in a two-year power-sharing deal with Yesh Atid leader Lapid, who could take over the subsequent 2 years. And reportedly, also, there's the first deal which would involve a coalition with one of the Arab parties, which is huge and fantastic.
So, is it a huge Arab party, is it?
No, it's not. I'm saying I'm saying it's not very big. There's a number of Arab parties. Formerly, they formed a list together. They have a few seats in the Knesset, but it's in terms of significance in the history of Israel, it's very significant and very important.
But I think Mr. Netanyahu was also negotiating with one of them a little bit earlier, like a couple of hours earlier or something, wasn't he?
He was, but it fell
didn't
through.
Didn't work out so good for
didn't
him.
Didn't work out. Look, he's still good. This could still be derailed. It has to go over the Knesset, and any number of MKs could say, we don't want this to happen and we're not going to approve it. And
my question is, though,
yes,
isn't this it's Bennett, isn't it? Is that right?
Naftali Bennett, yes.
Isn't Bennett just as much of a Zionist as Netanyahu is?
Well, I think he's seen in many respects as synonymous with Netanyahu's policies. He's very right-wing. Certainly Lapid is seen as much more moderate and favoured, I think, in a lot of other places around the world. But I think I think a lot of people in Israel, including the people behind this coalition, have just taken the approach anything but Netanyahu. Yeah. And I think that's something that's really driving this deal and may see it through.
Well, it might see it you know, crumble and fail in about 10 minutes, mightn't it? Because if everyone, you've got the far left wingers and the far right wingers together, I mean, are they going to get on so well?
Well, this has happened before.
Oh, okay.
And some coalitions have lasted, some haven't. But I think, yeah, I think right now a lot of people are just saying anyone but him.
Mm. Anyone but him. ABN, anything but Netanyahu. Well, there you go. Look, you know, have you seen pictures of Naftali Bennett?
Yes.
Is it me, or does he look a bit like Vladimir Putin?
I wouldn't say that to his face.
No, that's why I'm putting it out here on radio to...
Oh, he's not the best-looking dude.
I mean, he's more of a... I think he has more of a bowling ball head than Putin does.
Right, he's more
Putin's
of a square
more
head,
like
he,
kind
or?
Of goblin-esque.
I'd say that to his face.
I would say Bennett might be more bowling ball head. Yeah.
Right. Well, look, it's good to have that judgment.
Bunch of holes in, is that what you're
my
implying?
My general aesthetic assessment of the two politicians.
All right, look, you know, and just staying overseas for the moment, we had the incredible news. This was earlier, of course, in the week. Last weekend, Boris Johnson looked, you know, down on the mat for the count with his previous confidant, Dominic Cummings, unloading 7 hours of testimony to British MPs. I mean, how could you survive from all that material? What do? Well, you get married in Westminster Cathedral, even though you're twice divorced. How does he get away with this, Trudette? What do you think? Is he the ultimate politician?
I mean, he gets away with so much stuff. I'm actually not even shocked. I mean, the guy, you know, like got caught on a zip line, bought a bunch of water cannons that didn't even work, and somehow he's still standing despite completely ballsing up their COVID response in the UK. And, you know, he's still there and his hair's still messy. Like, what's going on?
And Brexiting all over the place.
Oh,
yeah. God. I just can't believe this testimony that apparently they were talking about bombing a site in Iraq. There was COVID was happening, and his priority concern at this moment with these very imminent crises was coverage of his then girlfriend's dog in the tabloids. I mean, come on. I mean, wow. Cummings came out with so much. Like, let's not forget about Cummings. This is the guy that orchestrated Brexit, Brexit campaign. So
he's not a good guy.
No, he's not. And in fairness, he has admitted to a lot of the stuff he believes he did wrong, not as regards Brexit, but as regards the COVID response and else. It's worth listening to the testimony, not just the bits that are carried in, like summarised in the press. But
so what's his motivation in all this? You know, how did things go so wrong in their relationship?
I mean, he wants the party, doesn't he? Surely he wants to take Boris off the perch, Cummings. I mean, wasn't he up for it when they did the last, you know, vote to find the leader of the Tories?
Well, he's someone who has like universal name recognition now as someone who's blunt and honest. Even if to what extent that is true, that is certainly how he is perceived now. He did looks like a full mea culpa, and people respond to that. So he's in a place to advance.
Advance. He looks like he will do. Look, I think we should probably start saying our goodbyes. It's been wonderful here being with you here on the Gristle on 2CR 107. We want you to come back next week. Come back next week. We're going to be here. We're going to be cheering over all this sort of stuff. Could be the same things. Who knows?
Could be new Prime Minister in Israel.
New Prime Minister in Israel. Could be new Prime Minister here. Could be new Premier. More likely. Who knows? Look at things. Things happen. So, look, this is what we're looking forward to here. So, thank you very much, Trudette. The goodbye music is coming
more
up here.
Kelly Clarkson.
Is that Kelly Clarkson?
No, it really isn't. It could be.
Anyway, thank you, Trudette. It's been lovely having you. Thank you, Tintin. We had to say goodbye. I didn't actually mention it. I didn't get a chance. We had to say goodbye to Demo Crazy a little bit earlier. You had an urgent domestic appointment.
Urgent democracy to attend to.
Yeah, indeed.
It was in a bit of trouble. Anyway, I'm Starvin Marvin. It's been great being with you. And we're going to be back again next week. Stay tuned for Across the Park.
Where would you panic and hide? Or run for your life, or stand here in spite.